Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Life goes up and it goes down. I know my mom taught me that. I figured why we fool around so little, and we keep track of time, being so serious. Idiots thinking it will matter, keep me company downtown before the clock runs out. Sun is shining, but the rain is welcome too. Friends are nearby, don't need another view. Time is not on my mind, but then it's you. Oh, I love it when the love comes around, and then I remember all things must pass. But I'm not gonna wake up, I'm not ready, let me have another day. Don't wake up, steady, cause I'm happy, I'm not gonna wait. No, no, not yet, whoa. No, not yet, whoa. No, no, not yet, whoa. I'm afraid I'll end up nowhere.
Hello.
They keep saying
hello, Malao, roller coaster riders. Welcome back to Roller Coasting. I'm your host, Megano. Just before we get started, I hope the sound of this is okay. I have actually moved location for today's episode. I'm actually recording it in my bedroom because I actually have the comfiest chair in my bedroom at my wee dressing table. And I thought, why do I never sit on that? So here I am on said chair, but not sure how the old noise and echoes and stuff are. So if there's any issues, apologies in advance, but it is just really good for my back to be sat here. So it is. So I hope you understand. Ugh. You know what? I'm even annoying myself, right? The inconsistency of roller coasting in season 3 is
downright disgraceful.
It's been really bad, right? There's actually no excuses for it. Yeah, I've been busy and yeah, things have been a bit chaotic, but that doesn't mean you can let things go to shit. So I'm really sorry, guys, for being so inconsistent this season. I am, once this episode is done, because that'll be the end of season 3, believe it or not. 3 full seasons, done and dusted, just like that. At the end of this episode, I will be taking a few weeks to think of some new ideas, fresh things to bring to the podcast, and just hopefully rebirth it, because that's what my roller coaster riders deserve. You guys deserve the absolute best, and I think I just need to go away, take some time, and come back and be ready to rock. You know what I think it is as well, is the past few months have been really fucking crazy in the sense I've been moving out, you know, like filming for a TV show, like doing other things that you'll soon find out about. I emoji. Things have just been a bit crazy, and you know, like being in a new relationship, like life has just took such a turn this year. A positive turn, I would definitely say, but it has been quite a lot to keep readjusting to. And I think now I've finally got all my wee ducks in a row, and now I can really go away and brainstorm and come back and be the best version of myself. However, that being said, we have one more episode to go. We must finish this season. And I know this seems like a bit of a cop-out. It really does. But I've decided let's finish up with a Q&A. Like I said, things have really changed this season, like through the start of this season to the end. Life is pretty different from what it was. So I think it's only right I finish up in a Q&A. If you guys have any questions, I can give in-depth, detailed answers, and we'll just leave it on that, and we'll be starting afresh. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode, and thank you so much if you sent in any questions. I love you, I love you, I love you. Let's go! Okay, question number one. When is the new series out on BBC? So I had a couple of questions about this. So if you're not already aware, my agency, Aquarius Creative, have a TV show on BBC. It's called The Agency Unfiltered. So season one is already out. You can go and binge watch that on iPlayer if you fancy it. And season two will be coming. When is that coming? I do not know. I think people would expect me to know the answer, because season one I wasn't too heavily involved, but season two I was quite heavily involved. I'd done quite a lot of filming, so you would think that I would know when the show is coming out, but I don't. In actual fact, like, I don't really know anything about the show until it's actually out. Like, I didn't watch it any sooner than anyone else could watch it when season one came out, and I highly doubt I'll see any of season two before it's out on TV screens. So I do not know, but actually neither does anyone. Like, it's not like the date is announced and like we're just not being told. Like, it doesn't have a date as of yet. I know that they are hoping to have it out sooner rather than later, but how soon that is, I'm not too sure. But I'm dying to see it. I'm actually itching to see it. Again, I also don't know what makes a cut, really. Like, I don't know how much of, like, my scenes would be in it or anything like that. But I did film some really big moments of my life this year that I hope make the cut. And I really look forward to watching back, because I feel like things were going at such a fast pace and there was so much going on that I didn't really sit back and like process it happening. So it'll be really fun and cool to be able to watch it back. So I am very excited for when it comes out. I'm just not too sure when that is, but fingers crossed it will not be too long, because I for one am itching to watch it. Are you still taking a break from being on the contraceptive pill, or have you found something else? So I am not on any contraception, in all honesty. I mean, never say never, but I actually don't plan on being on any contraception ever again. Not because I'm planning on having a baby. Absolutely no way. No way, Jose. No babies here, please. Not at this room right now, thank you. But the reason being, I actually wish I could be on contraception, but my reasons for not being on it and probably never going on it again is because, one, I suffer from migraines. So if you suffer from migraines, there is a lot of contraception that you should not be on. Like, doctors wouldn't really prescribe you if they're aware of your migraines, because if you suffer from migraines and take certain contraception, like the one that, the pill that like everyone is on, Regidivon or whatever it's called, the kind of pinky packet, I was on that for years, and I had went to the doctors about my migraines and they were like, oh, wait a minute, you're on Regidivon. I was like, yep, I've honestly been on it for about 4 years. And they're like, you'll need to stop taking that, like, with immediate effect. Like, if you get migraines and take this, you're then at a much higher risk of having blood clots or strokes. So I was like, sound, so glad I've been taking this for 4 years. But obviously I'm fine, touch wood. So I got taken off that, and it rules out like so much contraception. I think I'm right in saying I can only be on, oh shit, I forgot the word, estrogen only? I might make that up. Don't quote me on it. I ain't no doctor. But I can only be on things like the mini pill, or like the version of the mini pill that's the implant, and then like the coil that doesn't have any hormones in it. I think it's called a Mirena coil, maybe. So I have limited options for contraception. So I tried out the mini pill, and I've spoke about that before on here. And the mini pill just turned me into a different person. Really, like, it makes me, like, so moody. I can be moody anyway, like, 100%. We can all have our moody days. But this would make me, like, honestly, a bitch. Like, a really terrible person to be around, to be honest. It just fucked with me so much. It's not good. And this was, like, maybe, like, 2 years ago I was on it. So then I came off it for, like, close to a year. Then I tried to go back on it, and I was like, maybe my body would be different now. Nope. Same effect. No, come off that shit. So I swore to myself I would never go on the mini pill ever again, because I've tried it twice. It's had the same effect on me twice. It's not good for me. And the implant is just the exact same as this mini pill, apparently, like the one that I'm allowed to get. And then the only other thing I could try is the coil. And, you know, some people have really good experiences with the coil, and it makes me think, should I just get it? Because it's just, it would just be easier, wouldn't it? Like, you'd never have to think about it for, what, 5 years or something? Like, sounds like a really ideal situation. But I've also heard complete horror stories of the coil. And I know that you can, like, what works for me might not work for somebody else. So it is a bit silly to go off somebody else's experience. But I feel like the stories I've heard of the coil are actually just very haunting. And it's not something I'm prepared to risk. So I'm not on any contraception. I am, however, careful. I'm not going to say the word because it makes me feel awkward. But I do use protection. Oh, this is weird. If mum and dad are listening, hopefully not. I am careful. I do not want a baby, so I do take the steps to prevent that from happening. And that's just what works for me. I feel like it's not fucking up with my body at all. And I'm not, you know, nothing alters how I feel, my emotions or my body. It just is the kind of easiest option, and it doesn't bother me at all. However, as I was actually saying it in my recent YouTube video, I have just started experiencing PMS quite badly. So actually, when I put up the YouTube video, some girls were really kind, so helpful, and like commenting on it, or like even messaging me privately and saying like it might be PMDD, which is like the worser version of PMS. And that might well be the case. I'm not too sure. But before my period there, like my most recent one that has just finished, I have honestly probably never felt worse due to a period. Like, I was so sluggish, moody, down, anxious, dry skin, so bloated. Period was 2 weeks late. I was all over the joint, like spotting with blood and stuff. Do you know what? It was actually just a really horrific time, I'll be honest. But as sad as it is, I'm kind of like, I knew this would happen at some point. Like, when you Google it does say like it's really normal to experience these things in your mid-20s. And apparently the only way to kind of like solve these symptoms is being on contraception. That might not even solve it, but that's just what I seen on Google. And I can't go on contraception. So, you know, I'm not too sure what my options are, but that's where I'm at the moment. Oh, how I love being a woman. That wee TikTok sound. Someone asked when the next roller coaster in life will be. So, I will be honest, I didn't do roller coaster in life thinking, oh, I'll make this like a new regular thing. So, I don't know. Don't get me wrong, it was one of the best nights of my life, like hands down, unforgettable. I have never felt, is dopamine the word, like that happy stuff, happy emotion? I've never felt that happy. Like, I've never felt so proud of myself and so like accomplished. So I do like crave that feeling again. So 100% will do another one, but I don't have plans of doing it as of yet. It will obviously be next year. But I'm not too sure when. Maybe like summerish time again. I'm not too sure. But 100% will do another one. But I never had like plans to be like, okay, I'm going to make it an every year thing or an every few months thing. I kind of thought it would just be a one-off, but it did go really well and I did love it so much and I did kind of feel in my element, to be fair. So there definitely will be a Rollercoaster Live 2.0, but the date is to be decided. Someone asked, what has been your biggest moment so far? Oh, that is a question. I would say probably Rollercoaster Live, like in a, oh no, but then I don't know. Right, it'd either be Rollercoaster Live or buying my flat. One of those two, both of them are like kind of career, I suppose, because Rollercoaster Live, if somebody told me like back when I worked in like BT or Be Inspired, like back when I worked in my office jobs, if somebody said to me that in a few years' time you will be hosting an event, it'll sell out, there'll be like 200 people there to see you and they've all bought a ticket to come and you're going to stand on stage and speak for an hour and a half and then have the big after party after it, I'd be like, shut up. It's just not something I've ever seen for myself. So that was a huge, huge moment, like looking out into a crowd and just seeing people like smiling at you and laughing at you and like hearing all the really lovely things people had to say afterwards. That was like the most surreal night of my life. So I'd say that is definitely up there. And then also getting a flat myself, because again, just not something I ever thought I'd be capable of doing. Like it is very stressful and very hard to buy a place, unfortunately, at this time of life, like, you know, at this day and age. Is that the word? They don't make it easy nowadays to get a mortgage and to get on the property ladder. It is quite a difficult thing to do. So I am very proud that I managed to do this all on my own. So those are probably my top two biggest moments so far. So someone said, is there big things coming up soon? If so, please share. Love you and your content. Thanks. Love you too. So I do have something. Do you know what? I actually like this was going on during like the most hectic time ever that I almost kind of forgot about it. I do have something coming out very soon. Like literally very, very, very soon. I'm not even sure. Maybe by the time this podcast episode is out, I will have put it on my Instagram. If you were at Rollercoaster Live, you know exactly what I'm talking about because I exclusively announced it to the crowd there. But I will be posting on all my socials very, very, very soon because my sample of it is here. And I don't know if I can say it just yet, but it is such a personal, like it does not get any more personal than this to me. It is like literally me and a product, like literally, literally, literally me and a product. I am so excited about it. Like I don't obviously know how it will go down. I don't know if people are going to love it, if people are going to get behind it, because it's not like clothes or like, I don't know, the usual thing I would be promoting. But it is something that is so personal and me and just a huge reflection of like everything I stand for and love in life. And I think it's an amazing product, obviously, or I wouldn't be bringing it out. And I am so, so, so excited about it. And hopefully you guys love it too. I'm so excited to share it. Keep your eyes peeled. I literally forgot about it until now. And I'm like, oh my God, this is actually happening. But yeah. So excited. This is a question both Molly and I have been getting recently, and people are asking if we are still friends. Of course we are still friends. 100% are still friends. I understand that we haven't really been posting lots of content and stuff together, so I get why these questions are being raised. But rest assured, we are still really good friends. We're actually seeing each other tomorrow. It's a plan. Do, 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 do. You can probably guess it. You know what's coming. You know what time of year it is. So we are 100% still friends and we are going to get back to making content together and get back to doing what it is we love. Sometimes life just gets in the way and nothing bad has happened. No one has to worry. We're very much still Megano and Miss Molly. Miss Molly and Megano. Do not worry. And there's more stuff coming from us soon. And we're so excited to see you there. Someone has asked how to not feel guilty about moving on after a long-term relationship. So, this is 100, 1,000, 1 million percent something I personally struggled with myself. It is just the weirdest feeling. Like, if you have spent so long with somebody, if you've literally spent years with someone, moving on is just like the weirdest, strangest, most alien-like feeling in the world. And I personally found that with it came a lot of guilt. I have told a story before on here about the first time I kissed somebody after I broke up with my ex. And I have obviously never cheated on someone before, but I feel like how I felt when I kissed somebody for the first time is how you would feel if you cheated on someone. Like, that's how much of a hard time I was giving myself. I was crippled with anxiety and guilt. I felt like the worst person in the world when I literally had done nothing wrong. I had done nothing wrong by nobody. You know, things were literally so done. Nothing was coming back. You know, like, nobody was done wrong by. But I felt horrific. The guilt completely consumed me. And even, like, following up from that, like, even if, like, I was to DM anyone or, you know, speak to any boys, I was like, oh, this feels really weird. Like, I feel so bad. Like, am I doing something wrong? And I kind of eventually was like, I actually can't go on like this. I can't live like this. Like, I am single and I'm single for a reason. Like, that relationship unfortunately came to an end for whatever reason. It wasn't meant to work out. And as much as I 1,000% think, I mean, depending on how your relationship ended, if they'd done really wrong by you and they were like such a fucking dick, then I'm sorry, their feelings kind of go out the window. But if your relationship ended on terms that weren't bad and weren't nasty, weren't toxic, I think you do owe your ex a level of respect. Like, just think about how you would feel if the shoe was another foot. Like, just treat them how you'd like to be treated, basically. So I personally, like, didn't want it to be known if I had moved on, or, you know, like, I wanted to keep it all quite low key until I thought it was an appropriate time for anyone to know. I think what also helps, I mean, as much as it's also quite weird, I think it helps when you hear that they are also moving on and you're like, okay, right, like, this is the normal and right thing to be doing, so that guilt, like, doesn't consume you. But I think as well, and this is kind of contradicting, but I think if you've been respectful of your ex's feelings and you aren't purposely trying to hurt them or wave it in anyone's faces, I think eventually there does come a time where you can't keep protecting somebody else's feelings, and you need to not be selfish, but that is how it feels. It's not actually selfish to put yourself first, but it feels like a selfish thing to do. But I think eventually there does come a time where it's like, okay, I need to stop protecting anyone else's feelings and focus on my own. But it is a hard time, and it's something that I certainly found difficult and, like, hard to navigate. But yeah, my piece of advice is just try and be respectful about it, and also don't give yourself a hard time for moving on from something that was done. Oh, okay, so someone asked, what job would you do if you weren't an influencer? This is something that's always, like, kind of haunted me, because I'm always like, what if this just all ended tomorrow? What would I do? Because when I used to work in offices, and the two, like, full-time jobs that I'd done, did I only work in two full-time? Yeah, I did. Two full-time jobs. I didn't enjoy either of them. And I just couldn't go back to doing that if this was all to end tomorrow.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Oh, and for so long I just couldn't think, like, what would I do. Like, I obviously haven't went to university or college, I didn't do any sort of further education, so I don't really know what I'm good at, essentially. However, I have recently come up with an answer to this question, and it is dog walking. Yeah, if this all ends, I 100% want to be a dog walker. I love dogs. I'm passionate about dogs. I like walking. I like keeping fit. The only thing I don't like is the rain. But, you know, there's downsides to every job. And I feel like being a dog walker, surely that is the only downside, is the rain. Like, even picking up their poo wouldn't really bother me, because, I mean, I've done it for, like, 12 years anyway with Harry. So, dog walking at 100%. So, if this ever starts to go downhill, please book me to walk your dogs. I look forward to it. Do you wear fake tan or sunbeds? So, sunbeds. I'll be so honest in saying that I am a sunbed user in the summer. And actually last year, I always use them in the summer, like on the lead up to holidays, or like to try and keep my holiday tan a little bit longer. But last summer, I just didn't stop. Like, I'd done it all through winter. Not like as much as I would go for them in summer, but I did continue to use them all through until like now, well, like 2 months ago. And that is so stupid. It's literally so, so stupid. And you know what? It's not until like people round about you, obviously Molly spoke about it in her YouTube video, like, it's not until it's kind of put into perspective how silly it is that you're like, okay, you actually sit back and think about it for a minute. And also for me, I have noticed my skin is so aged. Is that the word? Is so aged. Has aged so much. My face is it looking a wee bit better now because I have started taking care of it, and I actually got this thing called Profound, which is lots and lots of injections in your face. Quite a nippy procedure. But, you know, desperate times called for desperate measures. I have definitely abused sunbeds over the years. I have been really silly, not wearing SPF. Because my skin doesn't burn, I just wouldn't think to put it on. Ridiculous, I know, absolutely so stupid. Slap me on the wrist, stupid idiot. But, you know, I'll be honest and transparent about it. I also have looked back at, you know, like pictures and stuff when I did use sunbeds, and I'm like, I just look stupid. I look horrific, actually. My skin looks terrible. I'm a weird orangey colour. It just doesn't look right. I think that's also came a wee bit with me maturing a wee bit and realising that, like, that is just really silly. I'll be completely honest and say I'm not saying I will never go on one again, as much as I absolutely should not. I think by the time next summer comes around, say I had a holiday booked, I'd maybe go for, like, a couple just before I go on holiday, so that you've got a little bit of a base tan for going away. I'm not saying that is the right thing to do. I'm not encouraging other people to do it. You shouldn't use them ever. But I'm not going to, like, sit here and be like, I will never go on one again, when I know fine well there is a chance I could. I mean, I might not. I might come to next summer and I might be like, no chance. But I'm not going to rule that out right now. But I have not been for one in probably about 2 months now. I am just slowly getting paler as the days go on. I use tinted moisturiser at the moment. I like the Palmer's one or the Garnier Summer Body one. However, I do have some new fake tan on its way to me right now, and I'm really excited to try that out. But yeah, I feel like I have definitely had a bit of a wake-up call when it comes to sunbeds. 5-year plan. Oh, what? Oh my God. I'll be 30 in 5 years. Oh my fucking God. That is, I'm sorry to any 30 year olds out there. I'm sure you are 30 and thriving. But the thought of me being 30 in 5 years. Oh, Lord. Why? Why am I just as close to 30 as I am to 20? Ew. Ew, ew, ew. No, do you know what? No, change attitude. Because you know what? I was always really scared of turning 25. And I would argue this has been my favourite age yet. I love being 25. The frontal lobe developing slays. Slay the day away. I've loved being 25. And they do say your 30s are the best years of your life. So do you know what? Bring it on. No, please don't. But bring it on. Okay, so in 5 years, I will actually be 30, which is alarming. Time really does go so fast. So what would I like to do in the next 5 years? Okay, this is like fairy tale land. This isn't like actually things I am actioning or like, you know, like writing on a mid board or whatever. This is just fairy tale land. Within 5 years, ideally, I will be living in a house. Maybe like my house that would be my lifelong house. Like, I know what I would want my house to look like. I'd like to be living there with my partner, who hopefully is going to be Pav. And I'd like that to be my forever home. Like, I don't want to move from loads and loads of houses. But obviously, I mean, who knows what financial position I'll be in. But this is just fairy tale land. So I'd be in my forever home. I would be engaged. Again, this is fairy tale land. I'm not saying I want Pav to propose to me right now. Hopefully it will be Pav, but who knows? I would like to be engaged. I'd like to have a wee ring on my finger. I'd like to have my wedding booked, I think. Yeah. Maybe like be getting married when I am 30. And after my wedding, I'd like to have a baby. I think that is where I'd like to be. I mean, I feel like that's probably a lot of people's goal for when they're like around that age. I mean, maybe not. There's no age to do these things, but that's kind of what I have said for years now, the timeline of things. So we'll see. I'll report back in 5 years. Speaking of Pav, there's a few questions about him. So someone said, do you see a future with Pav? You guys are the sweetest. Thank you. That's very cute. You just can't see me right now, but I've got a big cheesered smile on. And someone else had said, I just seen it a second ago. Oh, someone says, do you think Pav is the one for you and your future? So, this is a hard question to answer because obviously things can change. Like how you feel right now could be very different in the future. I personally wouldn't be with Pav unless I seen him being my future. I wouldn't really be with anyone. Like, obviously in the initial period it's too soon to say. Like, when you're first getting to know somebody, you can't make a call on whether or not you see a future with them. But I think after enough time passes and you know them well enough and, you know, you've been with them for like a significant amount of time, like for me that's like maybe like 6 months, I would say if you don't see a future with them, for me, I'm like, what's the point? I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste their time. I think 6 months is enough time to gauge someone. I mean, maybe not. Ugh. Oh, do you know what? Who freaking knows? Why am I spouting advice in this? But yeah, I personally wouldn't be with someone unless I didn't see a future with them at that moment in time. Do I think Pav's the one? I do not see why not. I can picture my future with him. Like, I can visualise us being married. I can visualise him being the dad to my children. I can visualise him being an amazing dad to my children. And I feel like if you can visualise these things, you're definitely heading in the right direction. Obviously, you never know what the future holds. You don't know how things are going to pan out. I can be the poster girl for that one. But I would say that, yes, I don't see why he wouldn't be my future. And if things keep going as they are, yeah, 100%. Someone's asked, do you and Pav follow different religions and is that an issue? So, yes, me and Pav do follow. Well, I am baptized a Catholic, but I wouldn't describe myself as a practicing Catholic. Like, I like to believe that there is a heaven, and, you know, like, in times of need, which is wrong. In times of need, I'll be like, in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, amen, and say a quick wee prayer to the big man. But I'm not a practicing Catholic in the sense I don't go to church and, you know, I haven't been to confession and Holy Communion and all that. So I wouldn't describe myself as, like, you know, practicing Catholic, but there is parts of being a Catholic that, like, sometimes I will tap into. So the religion I do follow is Catholicism. Is that the word? Catholicism. But, you know, I'm not going to say I am a patron saint or anything. Pav is not of the same religion. Pav is Sikh. So, yeah, we are of different religions. Is that an issue? No. I mean, it's not an issue to either of us. Like, I do not care that Pav is of a different religion, and Pav does not care that I'm of a different religion. We have had that conversation. Like, obviously, like, I would never expect him to not be Sikh, and he would never expect me, I mean, as I said, not a huge Catholic over here anyway, but he wouldn't expect me to become Sikh. So both of us, it is not an issue whatsoever. Actually, the more I learn about Pav's religion, like, obviously there's a lot to learn, like, you can't learn something that fast, but from what I have learned, I think his religion is so nice. I think it is so lovely. And I love that he loves his religion. Like, he is, like, a practicing Sikh. Sorry, my nose is, like, I keep needing to sneeze. He is practicing Sikh, and I love that for him. I think he has really good morals and really nice beliefs, and it does not bother me in the slightest that we do believe in different things or have different religious beliefs. Like, that doesn't bother me at all. I do not see it be an issue. If it's not an issue for either of us, I don't see why it should be an issue for anyone. So no, it's all good in the hood. Have you found it hard financially adjusting to being a homeowner? Yes. 1,000 times over, yes. You know, it's so crazy to go from when I lived at home. Obviously, I paid a little bit of dig money. In the grand scheme of thing, it really wasn't a lot. I paid a little bit of dig money. I'd buy, like, my own food quite a lot of the time. I'd pay for my car, my phone, whatever little things, gym membership and stuff. So at the time, I was like, I have quite a lot of outgoings. Like, it's not like I paid nothing. I did have bills to pay. So my money wasn't, like, completely disposable. But since becoming a homeowner, whoa, Zaruni. It has been the biggest shock to the system. Like, obviously, I knew before I moved out. Like, before you get the keys and before you do all this, you're told how much your mortgage is going to be a month. You find out how much your council tax would be a month. You can kind of make a rough estimate at, like, gas and electricity bills. Like, obviously, you have to shop around for, like, broadband. And I was aware that I'd have to pay factor fees a month because I live in a flat. Like, you do know of all these things and you're told these things, and obviously you consider it at the time, like, okay, can I afford this? Can I not afford this? But I feel like when it's just a number written down on paper, it is like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll do that. I'm sure that'll be fine. It's not until, for me anyway, it's not until I actually started paying it, I was like, oh, shit, this is a lot. And, like, on top of there being obviously all your bills, you have to do a food shop. You have to buy, like, cleaning products. You have to replace things in the house, like toilet roll, kitchen roll, towels, if anything happens to them. You know, there's just so much that goes into it. And it's kind of scary. Like, I have, like, the past few months, I'll be honest, I have been finding it hard to juggle all of my money. Like, I just have to readjust, and that's fine. It's totally worth it because I have a roof over my head that I love so much. But, you know, I have been quite frightened sometimes. Like, I look at my bank, like, fuck my life. Like, I need to make sure I have enough money to literally fill my fridge up. And like, sometimes I'll open my fridge and be like, oh my God, there is nothing in here. But, you know, it's just, it's definitely just hard, like, adjusting to doing it all on your own. Like, when you lived at home, I definitely took for granted, like, going and looking in the fridge and it was always full. Or going and looking in the cupboards and there was always snacks. There was always something to make for your dinner. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, all I have in my fridge is baby bells. That is all that is there. But obviously, I am in a fortunate position where I can currently afford it. It is a lot of adjusting, and I certainly do not have the disposable income I used to have. But, you know, I'm very lucky to have a roof over my head, and I am doing okay. But yeah, it certainly has been a shock to the system. Do you feel as though you've grown up a lot in the past 5 years? Because I feel old. In the past 5 years, no. I honestly would say just in the past, like, since like January, to be honest. And I bang on about this all the time. People will be so sick of hearing it. Sorry, I now have the hiccups. People will be so sick of hearing it. But turning 25... I need, honestly, what will I do when I'm 26 and I can't talk about turning 25 anymore? But turning 25 has changed me as a person. Like, I actually can't even explain to you. Like, this year, like 2023, I feel like I have sort of been like reborn. Sorry, I know I probably sound like I have lost the plot, but I really just feel like I have aged this year, and like, that's okay that I've aged this year. Or some people maybe felt older a couple of years ago, or some people still feel really young and they'll maybe feel like, okay, I'm getting older in a few years to come. There is no age for it. Like, I think everyone like grows up and ages at their own rate. But for me, it just has been this year. Like, last year, I was like, oh my God, I'm so fucking young. I don't care about moving out. I don't care about this. I want to go out every single weekend. I want to get blackout drunk every weekend. I'm just going to spend all my money on designer things. And I was perfectly happy doing that. And there was nothing wrong with it. I don't regret doing any of it. I had a great time. But this year, I've just like totally changed like how I think about things. And I'm not saying how I think about things now is better than how it used to be. It's just what I feel more content doing at the moment. And maybe I'll revert back one day. I don't know. There is no right or wrong way to do things or to mature or whatever you want to call it. But I just have personally noticed like my interests and like my hobbies and like my habits have really changed. Like, that is honestly one thing I was thinking to myself today is like, last year I honestly bought myself like so many designer handbags. Sorry, not to sound like a wanker there, like I did, but I would like skin myself. I'd leave myself with no money so that I could buy like myself a nice handbag. And like, this year I'm just like, oh my God, I could not spend that money on a bag, because my priorities have like shifted. And I'm like, that I could do so much more with that money. That's something for my house, or, you know, I could put that away for this or that. Like, something that's just shifted in my mind. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I have really changed this year. I personally wouldn't say in a bad way, but I'm also not saying in a good way. But I do feel like I have like changed / aged a little bit. Like, even now, like, I always loved going to like raves and festivals, and I still enjoy it, but like once in a blue moon. I used to go every single weekend, and I don't know how I'd done it. Like, one, and I'm like, phew, I'll go again in like 6 months or something. Whereas I really like the thought of like going out for dinner and having a glass of wine. A glass of wine. How crazy is that? I literally hated wine last year. Despised it. I was like, yuck, what the fuck? But people do say as you get older, you start to enjoy wine, and that's where I'm at. I'm at my let's wine and dine age. Bizarre. Okay, we'll finish up with one last question, and it is best moment of this summer. I'm going to say, I know I've banged on about it quite a lot in this episode, but I am going to say Rollercoasting Live. I had just moved into my flat. I threw this event that I was so stressed about, so worried about. I was actually like wishing I hadn't ever even done it. And it just was such a success, and I was so happy. I had Pav there. I had all my best friends there. I had my family there. I had all the Aquarius girls there. It was just like literally perfection. It was the best night. And I feel like it was pure height of summer. It was such a nice day outside. It was just fantastic. I feel like it was a really pinnacle moment for me. I just got back from the Mykonos trip with Aquarius and things were just going really well work-wise, and I just feel like I was in a really happy spot surrounded by everybody I loved. So that has definitely been the best moment of my summer. Right, my roller coaster riders, that brings us to the end of the Q&A and the end of season three. What the hell?
What the hell?
I honestly cannot believe I have now done three seasons of my very own podcast. That is nuts. I just want to take this moment to say the biggest thank you for every last person who listens to my podcast. Like, honestly, this means the world to me more. Like, the thought, like, when I still actually think about it for a second, like, the thought of someone out on a walk or, like, cleaning their room or driving their car, whatever it is they're doing, just sticking on my wee podcast and listening to me rabble down this microphone, that is just like the most heartwarming, surreal thing ever for me. It's everything I could wish for and more. So I do genuinely appreciate your support so much, especially being Miss Inconsistent. You know, I feel like I don't deserve your ears right now, but I am going to work my ass off to regain that. And I really hope that season four is magical. I want to create something so special for you guys because it really does mean the world to me. And as much as this, like, isn't my job and it's not my income, it's just my wee, like, escapism. And it's, like, my wee weekly therapy session, to be honest. I love it so much and I love you so much. Like, I genuinely couldn't express that enough. And I want to say the biggest thank you ever to my editor, Tom. He has been editing the podcast since day one. He's so fantastic at it. He's so patient. He's so understanding. He just gets me. He knows how to make this sound exactly how I want it to sound without me even asking. He is a real legend. So as I said, I am going to take a little bit of time off to think of some new ideas. I want to take it up a notch for season four. If you're listening thinking, Megan, why aren't you doing this? I have this amazing idea. Feel free to hit me up. Feel free to hit up the Roller Coasting Podcast Instagram page. Send any ideas, any suggestions over my way. I'd love to have your guys' input. I'd love to do things that you would like me to do. I just might not have thought of them yet myself. So do not be shy. Do not be a stranger. Feel free to slide into the DMs anytime. I hope you have a great few weeks without me. I hope you're going to catch up on any episodes that you've missed and you'll be ready for season four when it comes. I love you all so much, like genuinely so, so much. And remember, I have something exciting coming soon. I hope you enjoy. I love you all. Big kiss to each and every one of you. See you soon. Ta-ta for now.
Life goes up and it goes down. I know my mom taught me that. I figured why we fool around so little and we keep track of time. Being so serious, idiots, thinking it will matter. Keep me company downtown before the clock runs out.